Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today. We're going to start today by hearing some more testimonies of what God has been doing recently. These were recorded just a few weeks back in Springfield, Missouri. So let your hearts open to hear what God is doing as we watch these testimonies.
On a Wednesday night, God completely healed my ear. So 18 years ago, I was on a missions trip where inadvertently I damaged my ear and I needed to go to the doctor and get it checked out. As I was at the doctor's office, he looked at my ear and he saw that there was a hole in my ear. I had perforated my eardrum. He said that, it will heal. You'll have scar tissue on your eardrum, but your hearing will never be the same again. This went on for 18 years. I've lived with kind of a muffled hearing out of this left ear. Anytime anyone would say anything to me, I'd either have to have them repeat themselves and try to be looking at them, or I would need to turn to where I could hear them with my good ear. On a Wednesday night, we were watching prayer meeting online, and my wife was in the room with me, and she said, you know what, we're gonna take a minute and we're gonna pray for your ear. As soon as she said amen, I heard a loud pop in my ear. It was like a crackling noise, and I could hear 100% out of that ear. Ever since then, my hearing has been crystal clear. Both my right ear and my left ear sound the exact same. Nothing is muffled. People don't have to repeat themselves to me anymore. God has completely healed my ear.
At the Wednesday night prayer meeting, God completely healed me of vertigo. 22 years ago, I was diagnosed with vertigo. Headaches, nausea, dizziness. I was having them about once a week. It got so bad that colleagues had to drive me home from work. I would have to pull over on the side of the road. It became a safety issue. The doctor said he could give me some medication that would lessen the symptoms, but yet never cure me. So one Wednesday night, Pastor asked people to stand who needed the healing. And I knew that I needed to do that. And as I began to pray, I just felt the Holy Spirit. I felt my body begin to just a tingling go through my whole body. And I knew that God was healing me at that moment. And sure enough, praise God, I have not had a vertigo episode since then. I've had no headaches, no nausea, no dizziness. I have been completely healed of vertigo.
God has completely healed my ankle. 17 years ago, I was driving my car and my brakes failed. And I went 50 miles an hour into a telephone pole. That resulted in 20 pins and a steel plate and a bone graft in my right ankle. It was a week of surgery. It was a year of almost not being able to walk. It was pain every morning from that day on. It's a different kind of feeling when you don't trust your own feet to move in the morning when you get out of bed. And to have to deal with that every single day for 17 years. One Sunday morning, I decided, if God is healing all these people, why wouldn't he heal me? And it wasn't the first Sunday, and it wasn't the second Sunday, and it was just like Pastor John said, you just keep going. Well, I went forward a third time, and then it wasn't a day or two later, I woke up in the morning, and there was no pain. And it's not just there was no pain. I can move it around, I can do things now that I used to couldn't do. That's a game changer for me. God has completely healed my ankle.
On a Sunday, God completely healed me of anemia. I was diagnosed with chronic anemia in 2013. The symptoms kept getting progressively worse. I felt awful most days. I just felt the cloudy headed and foggy headed and just fatigued all the time. I went to the doctor and they put me on these iron pills, so I would take the maximum amount. I went to the specialist and he said that I was still chronically anemic. Then on a Sunday morning, Pastor John gave a word that the Lord wanted to heal people with blood disorders. And I knew that it was for me. So I stepped out into the aisle and just a swarm of people began to pray over me. I wasn't healed that day, but faith rose up in my heart to believe that my healing was coming. So every single Sunday and every single Wednesday, I went up for prayer. My symptoms began to fall away one by one by one. So now I don't take any iron pills. The foggy headedness is gone. The cloudy headedness is gone. There's no more fatigue and I feel amazing. God has completely healed me of anemia.
Give it up for our Savior this morning. Yes. This set of testimonies, most of these individuals that were healed were dealing with a chronic issue. Years, if not decades of dealing with these things. God doesn't care how long someone has been fighting with something. When it's his time and you're ready and faith rises up, bang, something happens. Something happened. You have a power encounter. I appreciate Pastor John and his team there at James River Assembly of God putting these things together. This is an exciting journey that we are on in this study of the book of Acts. I've entitled it Power Encounters, the Work of the Holy Spirit in Acts. Now, if you picked up a note sheet, you can probably set it aside unless you just want to follow the review, because yesterday the Holy Spirit dropped something different in my heart, and I'm trying to be obedient. I like to be organized. I like to have lots of slides for you and points, but this morning I just need to teach and I need to talk to you about the very specific thing God has put on my heart. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, one verse, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus said this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, I don't know anyone that can have a real encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit and not be different. Each person in the video, as well as numerous other individuals that were impacted by their healing, were touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I appreciated these videos because people went for prayer more than once. The one man it took three times before his ankle was healed. The other lady, she said it was progressive, that the anemia that she had been dealing with for years, it began to go away and she began to feel better until she was totally healed. This thing about healing and the power of the Spirit, I don't like to use this word, but it's the best word that I know. It can be a little bit on the messy side. It's not all cut and dry, but it's still God. Sometimes he chooses not to heal. Sometimes he chooses to heal in natural ways. Sometimes he chooses to heal through the natural healing of our body. Sometimes it's supernatural. Sometimes it's supernatural instantly, and sometimes it's supernatural progressively. We don't know always why God chooses what he does, but God heals. Sometimes he waits until we walk into heaven. Jerry and I have had multiple conversations about this. I'm going to talk more in a few weeks about healing and some of the ways that God works, but recently we were talking and she shared again about her mother's journey with cancer. And it went into remission at one point, but when it came back, she finally died of that disease, and it was a slow process. She had leukemia. But here's the strange thing. Sherry's father was used in healing gifts. And other people were miraculously healed when he laid hands on them. Yet he would lay hands on his wife and pray, and others would lay hands on Gloria and pray, and other people, thousands, tens of thousands of people, because of the scope of their ministry, were praying for her healing, yet God chose that her ultimate healing would be when she breathed her last and went to be with Jesus. I don't understand it all. That's why I mean sometimes healing is messy. But just because healing is messy, just because we don't totally understand how God works, should not bring us to the point of not trusting God, of not asking God, of not seeking God, because that's what the devil would have you do. Well, I didn't get healed this time. I didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit this time. I guess it's not for me. Don't believe the lie. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the Holy Spirit power is available to every single one of his children. But it's not all cut and dry. It's not all black and white. Nathaniel and I like to tease a little bit back and forth. He's more this way now than maybe I am, although I used to be. We're kind of black and white people. Do this, this happens. But the walk of Jesus isn't all black and white, is it? Sometimes there's lots of shades of gray, but it doesn't mean we stop believing, seeking, asking for God to move in our lives. Power encounters the works of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Now, sometimes, and I'm beginning to focus on what I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to share today. Sometimes we begin to think that this power, this Holy Spirit power, is for people long ago, the apostles and the early church. Or if we do believe it's for today, we think it's for those individuals like pastors or evangelists or prophets. And sometimes we don't think it's for me. So I subtitled today, this is the new title. So if on your note sheet it says something else, this is today's subtitle. The power is for me too. The power is for me too. Because I want to talk about Holy Spirit power for you. And I want you to kind of grasp onto this, to get it into your mind and into your heart. So I'm going to actually ask you to say this out loud. Luckily, it's on the screen, so you can just read it. And Josiah, I want you to say it too. If you can read, I want you to say this. The power is for me too. I'm sorry, what was that? No, thank you, Josiah. I didn't quite hear that. I thought you... He does need to be dunked, doesn't he? I want us to say it again. I want you at home, watching this either live or on demand sometime in the future. Maybe somebody sent you the link to this because they felt that you needed it. You at home, you in the building, let's say it again. This power is for me too. Not just for Peter, not just for John, not just for Paul, not just for Jesus, not just for Oral Roberts, not just for others who have flown in the power of the Spirit. This power is for me too. It's for you and it's for I. I'm going to go through a brief review and then I'm going to just share a few other thoughts. So, review. What is the primary purpose of miracles, signs, and wonders? To confirm the preaching of the gospel so that people can be saved. That's the primary reason. But there's three other reasons. That God our Savior Jesus would be glorified. For someone to actually be touched by the power, someone or some group received from God, or the third thing, to build faith for our own miracle. To build faith for our own miracle. And this is review from last week. The other thing, after observing a miracle, people reacted in several different ways. Number one, astonishment and wonder. You can bring up there, thank you very much. Astonishment and wonder that God is in this place. In Acts 3:10, when that man was healed who had been lame for 40 years, when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. But not everybody, even everybody that was astounded, didn't believe that Jesus was the reason it happened. Because number two response was, unbelief and rejection of Jesus. In the midst of a healing of a man lame for 40 years, unbelief and rejection of Jesus. The leaders, after they had arrested Peter and John, said this, what should we do with these men? They asked each other, we can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it, but to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak and teach in the name of Jesus, which they promptly refused to obey. The third thing that happens when miracles, signs, and wonders take place is there's repentance and salvation. There was all kinds of people that came to Jesus Christ because of that miracle. Throughout the New Testament, we find that that's one of the primary things that happened. And then the fourth thing, And I mentioned this in the top, what is the primary purpose for miracle signs and wonders? And after observing a miracle, people react in several ways. And the fourth thing is faith to believe for a miracle. Faith to believe for a miracle. The book of Acts is filled with people that are touched by the power of God, and other people receive Jesus because of the miracle. Throughout history, even contemporary modern history, people are touched by the power of God, and other people say, God is in this place. What you're saying about Jesus is real. I remember when I was a student at Oral Roberts University and had the opportunity to be on the inner circle. Let's not call it the inner circle. But since I worked for the ministry, I spent more time around Brother Roberts and the team, but also had access to a lot of video material because I worked for the TV ministry. And at times, Brother Roberts would share some things, either in a preaching segment or just privately he would say something. And I found out that it was his, when he was going to do a large citywide crusade, in the olden days it was under a tent, and then he went to large arenas. The first thing that they did, of course, is they had music, but then he would come out and preach the gospel. He would come out and tell people about Jesus. Before he ever prayed for anyone to be healed, he preached the gospel because the signs confirmed the word that was preached. And people got saved. Some accepted right then. Others came to know Jesus Christ after they saw people on stage. Sometimes it was even people that they knew who received a healing, who had large goiters removed on their necks in the days before they had the medical treatments, who had hearing restored, who had eyes restored, who had other things. People came out of wheelchairs. People came and accepted Jesus Christ because of that. But the other thing that would take place is faith would rise for individuals to believe for a miracle. You see, so far in the book of Acts, we have looked at events with big manifestations of power. But the power of the Holy Spirit is for regular life too. It is for your day in and day out life when you go into the office, to the factory, to the retail establishment where you work. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just for church. It's just not for altar ministry. The power of the Holy Spirit and the touch of God both on your life and through your life is available day in and day out. And God wants to use you to touch others, and God wants you to be touched regularly by the power of the Holy Spirit. What did I say the title of this was, the subtitle? This power is for me too. Jesus actually performed some, let's call them, less than earth-shattering miracles. There was water turned into wine. Now, that's a powerful miracle, but why did water get turned into wine? Nobody was sick. Nobody was dying. A bridegroom was going to experience embarrassment. And Jesus makes gallons of wine. That's not earth-shattering. It's a great miracle, but it's not earth-shattering. Jesus left the synagogue. It's recorded in Mark 1 and elsewhere. He left the synagogue where he was preaching one day, and he went to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. He healed her. That's cool. But you know what she did after that? She cooked lunch. It wasn't earth-shattering. She wasn't dying. But she was ill. And then she cooked lunch. Every day, day-to-day encounters, the power of the Holy Spirit is for you too. If you need wisdom, James says, ask. Ask of God. That's part of the move and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit giving travel directions. He warned about economic downturns. The Holy Spirit warned about an economic downturn that was going to come in the form of a famine. And because he warned about the economic downturn, the church was able to be ready when the famine came. God is concerned about day in and day out. And as you plug into, as you believe this power is for me too, it can make a difference. Should make a difference. I hope it's making a difference. And if not, I hope it will make a difference in the way that you are living. Power of God made a difference to Joan. Joan was at her seat, and all of a sudden she cries out, "Oh my God, it's gone! It's gone!" This happened to Joan Andrews in Westlake, Ohio. She had attended a healing service that was being led and conducted by Dr. Isan Nema. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, N-E-M-E-H. Dr. Isan Nema. He was leading the service. Now, this wasn't Oral Roberts. This was a medical doctor who had encountered Jesus, who had been filled with the Holy Spirit, that God was using in spiritual gifts of healing, both naturally through his medical practice, but actually supernatural. And so he was actually conducting a healing service there in Ohio, and Joan and her son, Sean, attended. Sean was 4 years old at this time, and he was born with a benign tumor under his right eye. And the tumor was unpleasant in appearance, but it was benign, and Joan didn't want her son, Sean, to grow up with a tumor on his face, so she sought medical advice. And at Cleveland, where some of the top doctors were, they finally told her as a mom, let's not deal with it. We feel that the surgically removing this because of where it is on his face, has the potential of causing greater damage than leaving the tumor alone. And so the tumor was left alone. But Joan had heard about a healing service that was going to be conducted. And so she went. She brought her 4-year-old son, Sean, and when the time came for healing to be ministered, for this doctor Nema, to start praying, Joan had Sean with her. And he went down the line of people. He came to Sean. He prayed for Sean and for the tumor, and he continued to walk down. Joan and Sean returned to their seats. 5 minutes later, Joan looked over at Sean, and she shrieked out in astonishment, "Oh my God, it's gone! It's gone!" The tumor had completely disappeared. See, the power of the Holy Spirit to you in touching your life or through you in touching others' lives is for you too. God wants to minister to you. God wants to minister through you. But it doesn't have to be an earth-shattering need. Jesus loves you. Ask him. Open your heart to him. Recently on Sunday night, in fact, it was this month, at our Sunday prayer time where we were praying for revival, I had something drop into my heart. I will call it that it was a word of knowledge because the after effect of it proved that the Holy Spirit was talking to me. And it involved Miss Kim Wright. And so I've asked Kim to come, and she's going to share some testimony about that Sunday night. And come on up. Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you what I said, and then Kim is going to tell you what happened. I had a sense that Sunday evening, and this was the word of knowledge that came, was that there was someone, at least one, there could have been more than one, who was dealing with an issue of fear. And it was really deep-seated fear. And it was a fear that was having some real strong influence on someone's life. And so I said, if anybody here is dealing with fear, would you stand up or raise your hand? And I looked around, and it oftentimes happens because people, I don't want to be the first, or I don't know if I'm the only one. They don't necessarily respond. All of a sudden, Kim puts up her hand. I said, Kim, would you stand in the aisle, and let's gather around and pray for you. Now, let's hear what happened to Kim.
Okay. So I just started teaching in January, had my first class by myself, and then everything was fine, but this group of students that I had, I got them again in August, and it's been 20 years since I've been in a book for nursing. It's been 20 years since I've done textbook teaching. So I was a little intimidated and very concerned because the students that I'd had previously didn't show up for class most of the time. And so that inferior, that spirit of, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, I'm not smart enough, I can't do this, was seeded. It was planted. And I know the scriptures. I know that I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I know that when I am afraid, I will trust in God. I knew the scriptures, but that fear, my first day going into my first class in August, I was sick to my stomach, literally. I thought I was going to puke. The fear was so horrific. And I managed to get through it. And the next class wasn't a whole lot. That fear, it's just that fear just kept, you can't do this. You don't know what you're doing. You're not smart enough. You can't do this. And that fear of the students failing because I couldn't succeed, the fear of getting fired because I wasn't smart enough to do this job. Everything was just horrible. And when he said that, I was like, oh my, you're talking to me. Because I was struggling with my classes. I was struggling. And so I had them pray. And it wasn't the first day. My first day back, Monday morning, I went to class. It was still a little of an intimidation. But when Wednesday's class came, there was no fear, none. No fear. And I have been able to go into every class since and not be afraid that I'm not good enough or not be afraid that I can't do this because God is with me.
Yeah.
And when He is with me, I can do all things.
Amen, amen. See, the power was for you too that day. Kim needed somebody to pray for her. Kim needed a group of people. God gave a word of knowledge and said, someone has fear. And when I saw her Wednesday, it was not the Kim that was there that Sunday night. She kind of skipped in here. She kind of floated a little bit. She said, I had the most awesome day today. You can go ahead. Thank you, Kim. I had the most awesome day today. And I'm thinking, well, that's fine, Kim. I had forgotten about the prayer Sunday night because, see, it didn't apply to me. Sometimes when you're used by God, you don't even remember. And she said, yes. Oh, the fear was gone. And then it clicked again. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we prayed. And I rejoiced with Kim. And I thought, thank you, God, that I was willing to take that moment and trust that this was something to share that night. Well, that's where we're at today. See, I want you to begin to experience the power of God in you and through you. See, God wants to touch people here this morning, maybe some individuals at home. Whether that touch is through the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is an open door to a richer, deeper, stronger relationship with God. Maybe that's not just the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but the power to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because the baptism and the gifts are a doorway to effective and powerful ministry to others, as well as an avenue to greater blessing in your own life. But see, you have a choice whether or not to receive this power, whether or not to walk in this power. You have a choice. God is not going to come out there. I know some of you wishes He would, and grab and twist your arm and sort of drag you up there and say, today's your day. No, the invitation is there, and the invitation is offered, and He's saying, will you step out in faith and come and receive what He has for you? Spiritual power, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, a refilling of the Holy Spirit. There's no arm twisting here. And maybe you say, I'm still processing this stuff. Well, keep processing. Don't shut it down. I'm so concerned about people that are seeking something and they go for prayer once or they go for prayer twice and then they say, well, it must not be for me. If God says it's for you, then you keep seeking till he says otherwise. And I don't believe he will say otherwise. You just have to keep pressing through. Some of those people who received healing, it wasn't the first time, it wasn't the second time, it was a third time or a fourth time of prayer or a fifth time of prayer. Sometimes it's as quickly as a word of knowledge and prayer on a Sunday night. Now, as you said, you went to Monday's class and there was still some anxiety, but by Wednesday, God's spirit had moved in and kicked out and kicked aside and stomped on that spirit of fear. I'll bet you were still quoting the scripture, though. Yes, because you received it. Here's the question. What do you need today from Jesus? What do you need? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What do you need today? Do you need healing? Then receive prayer today. I'm going to talk about four areas that people might need healing. These aren't original with me. I read them someplace, but when I read them, they just stuck in my heart and I wrote them down. You may need healing for a medical condition, an addiction, an emotional wound, or a haunted past. A medical condition. We think of those when we talk about healing, but you know, God has healing for addiction. Or an emotional wound, or a haunted past, then you need to take a step and receive prayer today. We've already talked about peace in your heart, and we've prayed, and I've spoken over you. But maybe you need peace in your heart because truly you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus did say, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. But if you haven't opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and received the forgiveness of sins, you can't have his peace, because that peace comes with repentance and confession and humbly saying, Jesus, I need you. Maybe this morning you're one, you don't have peace because at one time you walked with God, but now you are away from him. And today, you feel his spirit saying, come home. Receive prayer this morning in just a moment. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Have you yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit? If not, come forward this morning. Let someone pray over you. Oh, I've received prayer and nothing happened. I didn't feel a thing. Come again. Some people don't feel anything. Some people do. But it's still something that we all need. Receive prayer again. Don't give up. God has a good gift for you. And because it's a good gift, and because it opens door to power, the enemy's going to fight you on that. I was talking to someone just a few months ago, and they said, oh, I already have it. I don't need it. No, I've never spoken in tongues before. I don't really sense this. But, you know, I'm sure that if God wanted me to have it, he's going to give it to me. And I said to them, but have you sought it? Well, no, because if God wants me to have it, he'll just give it to me. Boom, I'll get it. No. Do you want it? Do you want all that God has for you? Do you want every gift God has for you? Then seek it this morning. Seek it this morning because it will open the door to a richer, deeper relationship with Jesus as well as the door for you to minister. Maybe today you just want more of God. Of anything God might have for you, then I'm going to encourage you to come and receive prayer. Just a few moments. Would you stand? Would the team make their way back to the platform? This morning, if you want prayer for any of these things or anything else, any of these things or anything else, I invite you to come and stand across the front, but please leave some space so that our prayer team can get in front of you to pray. Right now, If you need a healing touch in any of these four areas or anything else, you need to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. You need to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or to give it back to Him. Right now, start across the front. Stand across the front. What do you need this morning? What do you need this morning to stand across the front? We're going to have a team that's going to come and begin to pray with you. Anybody else who wants prayer this morning, just come. Stand up here. Anybody else this morning? Thank you. There's more coming. Anybody else? Anybody else? You need prayer this morning? Yes. Yes. Anybody else? I want to make sure that everybody's here before I start beginning to have people minister to you. If you need prayer this morning. Okay. If you are part of our prayer team, would you come and begin to minister to the people that have come forward? Pastor Evan, join also. Bill's coming. Betsy, Kim, find somebody. Evan, yes, please. Come and stand in front of the people. Find some folks and begin to pray. The rest of you, would you join the team? Because they're going to talk about speaking the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus is the powerful name. Go ahead and you can begin to pray for anybody that you would desire. Whoever the Holy Spirit is leading, and then those of you praying, you can go to some others. At home, God bless you. I wish we could lay hands on you, but it's difficult. I know some of you cannot be here, but some can. It's about time to come home. Not home as if you're coming to Jesus, but to come back so that we can minister to you with the laying on of hands or the anointing of oil. Thank you for joining us online. Maybe you live far away. We understand. Then find a Spirit-filled, Bible-believing church that you could go in person and receive prayer ministry. God bless you, home audience. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.